Hey guys, this is Andrew with the Utah Jazz Podcast. Sorry, this is a little bit late. I had some stuff going on last night and I couldn't record. And also, I saw no point in recording it or doing a podcast for that game against Houston. And that was just not worth doing a podcast for that kind of loss. But I'll tell you a little bit. Jazz lost 45 points, not 45 points. But Jazz lost by 45 points at home against the Houston Rockets. Jazz had nothing. Jazz had no energy. I think. Whoa, I got. Where is that coming from? Pause. There we go. Jazz had nothing going from that game. It was the only time they looked good is when after they were down like 16-7 or whatever, 16-6. Jazz called a timeout, came back, and actually looked good. Up until like the last three possessions of the first quarter, and then it was tied at 22-22. And what happened? The Rockets went insane. Three pointers. Jazz had no defense. It was just nothing. I'll just say Jazz played like crap and got hit with the worst home loss in Jazz history and the second worst loss in franchise history. So that's pretty crazy right there. I mean, 45 points. I mean, that's just one of those nights. It's like, I mean, it was pathetic. And I can't believe I watched the entire game. So anyways, last night, Jazz play at home against the Hornets, still without Gordon Hayward through a sprained shoulder. And it might be worse than the Jazz are leading on, but I don't know, because he's doubtful. I think he's doubtful for tomorrow, which is Friday. So yeah. Anyways, but to help it out, New Orleans Eric Gordon did not play, so that kind of helped the Jazz, because Gordon, when they play with Gordon, they're very, very good. But the Jazz started out slow, but then came on strong. Jazz shot 50% from the field, even off, and 33% from three, 4 of 12. 32 of 46 from the free throw line. 70%, I mean, you missed 14 of those, but still 32 makes. I mean, we made more than they attempted. They attempted 28 and hit 17, so it's pretty equal there. They shot 60% from the free throw line. The Jazz shot 69. I apologize for that. I just went 32 makes. Jazz had 40 rebounds, 7 of those offensive. Hornets had 43, 10 of those were offensive. 24 assists for the Jazz, 22 for the Hornets, 24 fouls for the Jazz, and 32 for the Hornets. I mean, so it was a very high fouling game, even though the Jazz had quite a bit less. But also, you got to take in account, you might as probably two or three of those fouls because it's just, you know, late game situation. So, but still a lot of fouls going on. 6 steals for the Jazz, 5 for the Hornets, 13 turnovers for the Jazz, and 12 for them. 5 blocks for Jazz and 7 for the Hornets. The Hornets, on the other end, shot 47% from the floor, 36 from deep. So, but the Jazz scrape up with the 5-point win. And awesome thing happened last night. Houston and Denver playing, and Houston lost. So, good thing. Also, the Lakers went into Phoenix and lost to the Phoenix Suns, which is great. So it's not just that all of a sudden they're going to play great. You know, if they're playing great, playing together and everything, they should have won that game. I mean, Phoenix is the second worst team in the West, and you lose to them. So, I don't know. But, you know, the Jazz, they had some good things going for them. Paul Millsap went pretty freaking crazy. 25 points, 7 of 12 from the field, 11 of 16 from the free throw line, 10 rebounds, 1 assist, and 2 blocks. Al Jefferson, 22 points, 10 of 18, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 block. Randy Foy, 14 points. Derek Favors was awesome. 15 points, 6 of 9 from the field, 3 for 5 from the free throw line, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, and 1 block. So we got some good minutes. Damari Carroll only had 11 minutes and 38 seconds. But, you know, he played well. I mean, he played very tough defense. And he did get 5 fouls, and most of which were, like, too quick, and then, like, 2 quick fouls, and then it took him out. And then he got another 2 quick when he came back. I was like, what the crap? So, Enes Kanter, only 4 or 5 minutes. 2 points, though. One assist. I'm not really sure. I mean, Corbin went with a three big rotation last night. So I'm not really sure why he did that. I'm not sure why Kanter didn't get more minutes. It's a little bit surprising. I think it's, I guess it could be because Ryan Anderson stretched four, and I think the one stretch in the beginning of the, or I think it was second quarter, that Derek Favors and Enes Kanter on the floor, and then put Tamari Carroll and Ryan Anderson, and then I think later they put Marvin, and they just kind of kept that kind of a smaller lineup so Marvin could guard Ryan Anderson. So, but Burks got some extended minutes last night, 1 of 2 from the field, 5 of 6 from the free throw line. There, improvement right there, 5 of 6. I think if he can do that, if he can get a line 6 times and make 5 of them, that's great. I mean, that's great. I mean, that's what, 75%? That's more than that. It's 80. That's 80%. Somewhere around there, 80 to 85% from the. That's pretty good. So he also had 2 assists in that stretch, 1 steal, and 8 points. So, you know, pretty good. And that one when he made was a 3-pointer. So, but. So, I mean, it was a good game. It wasn't like, you kind of expect, you know, the Jazz to come out like really, really high energy, and they didn't. And they, I just don't know what's going on. It's like they come out and they start slow for so many games, and you're like, okay, come on, pick things up. And then you start getting used to it. Like, okay, we're going to start slow. Second quarter, we lay it on. And if you look at the game, Jazz were outscored 29-19 the first quarter, but then come back around and outscored the Hornets in the second quarter 32-18. And you're thinking, why can't they do that in the first quarter? Why can't they play that tough defense, high offense in the first quarter or throughout the entire game? They just don't do it. And if they could, I mean, we would have much better record. We'd be more like Denver is right now. And Denver is at 29-18. That's where the Jazz should be. But the problem is they have so many slow starts, and sometimes it kills them. I mean, it's just, you know, really bad first quarters. Because I remember from years and years ago, probably like 4 years ago, we still had Williams and Boozer. They had a really slow start. I think it was at Memphis. They had a really, really bad start. I think they got scored by 18 in the first quarter, something like that. But then they won every single quarter and lost by like 4 points. So it, and I'm sure there's examples of this year that that's happened. Maybe not to that extreme, but Jazz have so many slow. I mean, you can look at, I mean, how many first quarters have we led in? You know, at the end of the first quarter, how many have we led? I mean, it's actually a pretty small number out of the amount of games we played, and it's pretty pathetic, actually. But right now the Jazz are 25-21, 16-5 at home, and 9-16 on the road, which is actually decent. 9-16 for this Jazz squad. Denver's 10-15. Houston as well is 10-15. The difference is Denver's played, they played one more home game than the Jazz, right? Two more home games than the Jazz, and we're even on the road. So yeah, I mean, I think Denver has a slight, I don't know what it is, because we're both really high altitude, but they just, maybe they just play with so much more energy at home than the Jazz do, and that it's kind of, but still, I think Jazz and the Nuggets have the best home court advantages. Obviously, you don't have the best home court records. San Antonio has that with 21-2, so, which is actually kind of surprising because New York started great. Now they're 16-6, so at home. But crazy things happen. But Jazz are 2-3 in the division, 13-16 in the conference, which is a little bit unnerving, but not as bad as Houston is. Houston is 9-18 in the conference, in the Western Conference. I mean, they're horrid. I mean, that's a 25% winning percentage. I mean, that's terrible. I mean, the Jazz are pretty close to 500, which, if you can get around 500 in the West, I mean, that's fantastic. I mean, if you're in the East, there's teams that are under 500 in the East, and that's Boston, 14-15. I mean, you look at the rest of the teams above them. Milwaukee 18-11, Atlanta 17-11, Indiana 15-10, Brooklyn 20-10, Chicago 22-7, New York 18-8, Miami 14-8. So you look at this and you think, okay, you know, this should be much better. And I just kind of looked at the standings real quick, at the east, the west. San Antonio has 37 wins. Miami has 29. Now, San Antonio's played many more games. I mean, San Antonio's played 48 games. Miami's only played 42 games, which is pretty crazy. New York's played 43, so it's kind of interesting right there. But like Brooklyn and Indiana have played quite a bit more. But, I mean, it's kind of surprising that, I mean, the Jazz have played a ton. Jazz have played 46 games, so. And the Nuggets have played 47. But, 47. Or Jazz have played, yeah, that's right. Anyway. Jazz coming up schedule. Let me take a peek. I know we got, I think it's Blazers on Friday. And then, again, the Blazers on Saturday. It's home on Friday and then at Blazers on Saturday. And then after that, it's home versus the Kings, home versus the Bucks, home versus the Bulls. The Jazz got to take care of the stretch, take care of home court. And, you know, they should be at the end of the stretch. I think that's, I think the last one is Friday, March 1st, at home versus Charlotte. I think that's their last, the end of the, like, their big homestand. By then, the Jazz should be 8 or 9 games above 500, and that's where they should be. But anyways, that's going to do it today, and you guys have an awesome day. Jazz win it, and stay alive in the playoffs. You guys have a good day.